We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So a new documentary film just came out starring the Orleans Parish District Attorney, Leon Canizzaro. And they had a premiere of the documentary film that they were showing here in the city. And he was invited, but he didn't show up.
I guess you could call Leon Canizzaro, in a way, friend of the show.
I've had him on my show before.
Yes.
The name of this premiere, the name of the documentary that premiered here in New Orleans, Guilty Until Proven Guilty. And we just had the New Orleans Film Festival here last week. Are you familiar with that?
Only by name.
That was here last week. Yeah. I have a couple of friends that are really into that. Okay. They went to all these different movies, and they were tweeting and Facebooking, and, hey, hashtag NOFF, you know. Mm. I didn't really catch much of it. But the reason why Canizzaro didn't show up, he was invited to the premiere, is because this doesn't paint him in a very positive manner.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, if you look at the title, Guilty Until Proven Guilty.
Right.
Our district attorney plays a starring role in this documentary on race and criminal justice in New Orleans. It's only a 52-minute documentary. It would be perfect for the television. You know, you got 8 minutes for commercials there. But basically, it attacks Leon Canizzaro and, you know, our criminal justice system here in New Orleans on its unyielding pursuit of convictions and long prison terms for black guys. And it featured the story of this one guy who, again, they were calling him guilty until proven guilty, that he was a young black guy with a long rap sheet, and he got arrested for doing something. And the fact that he had to sit in jail for a long time until his court case came up, and then he basically had the option to plead guilty and admit what he did, and he'd only get 5 years in prison, or he could fight it if he truly believed he was innocent, which he really did. And if he fought it and lost, he'd be in prison for like 30 or 40 years. And that was basically, that's how this documentary says the criminal justice system in the city of New Orleans is. That's how they say that the criminal justice system in Orleans Parish is.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is not the perfect choice for date night.
Probably not.
A little heavy. A little heavy subject matter.
Yeah. The pop star Usher introduces the film, and New Orleans jazz composer Terrence Blanchard does all the music for the film. And one guy they talk to a lot in the film is current city council president Jason Williams. I mean, he's had some issues, and he says he's going to be running against Canizzaro for Orleans Parish District Attorney. And I just thought, during the New Orleans Film Festival few days that it was here, you know, they had this one documentary film about a very high-profile person here in New Orleans. But guilty until proven guilty is not something that the district attorney would probably enjoy seeing. And I'm just wondering if that is how it is for every, you know, young black guy that gets arrested in New Orleans who has a long rap sheet. are they told either plead guilty and you get 5 years, depending on what you did, or you could fight it, but if you lose your battle, you're going to be imprisoned for 20, 25, 30, 35 years, 40 years.
I mean. Well, maybe that question exactly is something that is handled in the course of this documentary. I don't know.
Look, I know that office was kind of crooked for many years when Harry Connick Sr. was running it. I know that they did some things, and it's well documented. I don't have time to get into it now. But they did some things with witnesses or lack thereof, or with prisoners. They did some things that a lot of legal experts say, well, that doesn't make any sense, what that office did sometimes under the leadership of Harry Connick Sr. But that's been a while now, and Leon Canizero is there, and he says that they do the best that they can with what they have to work with, and that's justice. So, anyways, an interesting documentary film that debuted last week at the New Orleans Film Festival on Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I remember talking about this story when it happened, and it's in the news again. Do you remember when the folks at Entergy, our electric company, when they wanted to announce that they're going to have a new power plant over in New Orleans East? It made some news, but the reason it made news is not just because Entergy wanted a new power plant in New Orleans East. When Entergy wanted this thing, they went over to City Hall, the idiot box, and it came to be known that they paid actors to show up at the city council meeting at City Hall, the idiot box, and they paid actors to show up there to support their new power plant in New Orleans East. Do you remember that? A bunch of people took to the microphone, and it came to find out that they were actors being paid by Entergy.
So they weren't just seat fillers like you'll see at award shows. They'll pay people, you know, $100 or whatever it is to sit at award shows. And then as winners get up, they'll move around to make the auditorium or whatever look like it's full.
Well,
but when you say actors, you mean people who actually get up and give a prepared statement.
Yes.
In favor of Entergy in this case, in exchange for, we would assume, money.
When it comes to the award shows, it wasn't that they were just filling in for people that actually won awards and had to walk up and get behind the microphone and thank everybody. It was people who went to the bathroom.
Right.
They had to go.
Any empty seats didn't look good.
People maybe who got sick and weren't feeling well and had to leave early. Yeah, they had paid actors. The same thing. Maybe some of the same folks.
Well, that's my point. It's not the same thing. Seat fillers are seat fillers, but these people were actually getting up and making statements.
Yeah, and this was something, and it bothered the non-actors, the people that didn't want this new plant from Entergy in New Orleans.
Would this be a union violation with SAG and AFTRA? And
yeah, this upset a lot of people. Entergy New Orleans executives, including former CEO Charles Rice, were involved in a scheme to use paid actors to fill public meetings about a controversial power plant that they wanted to put up in New Orleans East. You might remember the story. Because Entergy, as we've reported on this show and we've talked about before, Entergy is kind of screwed up. It's old. And they needed, they wanted a new power plant. They wanted a new place over in New Orleans East. So, come to find out, and they've since admitted to it, that Entergy New Orleans executives, including the former CEO, were involved in a scheme to use paid actors to fill public meetings about a controversial power plant in the East. City Council just completed their investigation and proving a critical point that Entergy brass not only knew about the strategy to have paid actors show up there, but they were closely engaged in it as well. Entergy regulated is regulated by the council, the New Orleans City Council. Did you know that? Has claimed not to know about the having paid actors show up there at the city council meeting. But not only was that a lie, they were behind the partnership, and they claimed not to know about the partnership, or they said they didn't know about the people that would show up there and be paid to say, we want this new power plant. We need this new power plant over in New Orleans East. Paid actors. I've heard of faking things before, but this is ridiculous. Can you imagine that? You're an actor and you're having a tough time finding work here in the city of New Orleans, and you get a phone call from the powers that be over at Entergy, and they say, hey, you got a few minutes? Maybe we might need you for an hour or two to go show up at the Idiot Box City Council at the city, or City Hall, at the City Council meeting that they have over there once a month, and we just need you to pretend that you really want Entergy to build this new power plant in New Orleans East. The people that didn't want it were the residents that lived over in that neighborhood in New Orleans East. They said, do you realize what could happen to us, our health, if you put up a brand new power plant? It makes me think of some skits from like Saturday Night Live and things like that.
Well, here's the thing that I wonder about when you say actors, and they have, you know, we would assume actors to mean actors and actresses. Do they show up like with soap opera hair, you know, perfectly coiffed hair and dressed in, like they used to say on The Guiding Light,
Fashions by Barney's.
Do they show up like soap opera actors with dramatic music like this?
If you ever saw any of the footage from that meeting on the local news, like Channel 4, which I did,
right?
They either look like you just said, Brewster, or they look like that old SNL skit with the 3 Mile Island, when Jimmy Carter's head blew up. Because the nuclear fiasco over there at 3 Mile Island?
Would you like me to tell you? It was the amazing, colossal president.
Yeah.
Yes, where someone spilled Pepsi at 3 Mile Island, and Dan Aykroyd as Jimmy Carter went in there, and the maid was in there. Garrett Morris played the black maid.
That was hilarious.
And yeah, exactly. Hilarity ensued.
But this wasn't
so
funny.
No.
What we're talking about this morning on the show, these results of the New Orleans City Council's third-party investigation were just released last night. And they indicate that the CEO at the time for Entergy, Charles Rice, actually asked for more actors than first proposed.
I need more actors!
Can you imagine you're an out-of-work actor in New Orleans and you're hanging around and your phone rings one day and it's the CEO of Entergy saying, hey, you need a gig? We'll throw you some cash if you can go down to the Idiot Box City Hall for the city council meeting, where city council is dealing with these people, two groups of people, this group of people that really want this new power plant from Entergy, and they really want it there in New Orleans East. And then you got a group of people who actually live in that neighborhood and say, God, no, we don't want the power plant right there. My backyard is right there. My front yard is right there. I have children.
My side yard is right there.
Yes. You know what this is going to do to the kids in that neighborhood in New Orleans East? Again, go back and watch an old SNL rerun from the Three Mile Island debacle.
I could act that sketch out for you if you'd like, word for word. Maybe a little bit later.
I remember, Rooster, watching the local news that day at my house. And I remember saying, who are all these people that are just so animated? They so want the new Entergy power plant to be in that spot in New Orleans East. You would think maybe there would be a couple of people from a couple of other places that would say, well, you know what? We could have it over here instead. But no, they were hell-bent. And then you had a bunch of people that were like, no!
Hey, look, the heart wants what the heart wants.
Well, come to find out, and this was a rumor that was going around soon after that happened, that meeting, because people said, something looks peculiar here. These people, not only are they, like you said, Brewster, are they dressed to the nines? They look perfect.
Right.
But I've never seen so many people who looked this good, who looked this perfect, so passionate about wanting a power plant in one specific neighborhood like they did for Entergy.
Mm-hmm.
You live and you learn, Brewster. And we just learned, because all the details came out last night, that it was all planned. They knew that they needed this power. Entergy wanted this power plant in that specific neighborhood in New Orleans East. And so they got a bunch of paid actors to go and say how great it would be for the community and how great it would be for everybody and everything. And the only people that weren't down with that were everybody who lived there in that neighborhood. Would you want? I'm sure if you're listening right now, and you, Brewster, I debate if you're listening, but you like where you live. The last thing you would probably want right next to your house in your neighborhood is a massive, sprawling new power plant.
Oh, there's no room. Stay out.
See?
Not in my side yard. Hey, look, if I, you know, the little thing, the little plastic thing, if I flip that up and the lights come on, I'm happy. I'm very simple in that way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, stay tuned for see what happens with that.
Yes.
Coming up on the show, did you see who teamed up for healthcare? How about Ochsner Hospital and Walmart? They teamed up for health insurance. We'll explain coming up. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. I might have told you this story before, Brewster. I might have. Remind me if I have. And I'm only bringing it up because we have so many celebrity birthdays today. I wanted to say one even now before we do Why Today Doesn't Suck Today.
Okay.
Happy birthday to the bass player, not the original, but the guy that came in, and he's still the bass player of the Eagles, Timothy B. Schmidt, not to be confused with Timothy A. Schmidt or Timothy C. Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Timothy B. Schmidt. And the reason I bring this up, when I did the talk show in Boston with Peter Blute, the former congressman, he liked rock and roll, but he didn't know. He was a congressman, for God's sake. Well, when the Eagles did their Hell Freezes Over, and it, for the first time, when they got back together for the first time in the 90s, or it was right around 2000, 2001, 2002, when they first got reunited for the first time, they were coming to Boston. And they said, it's happening. Glenn Frey, Don Henley, Joe Walsh, Timothy B. Schmidt. When Peter Blute heard that for the first time, he couldn't stop laughing. He said, listen to all those names. Who the hell is Timothy B. Schmidt? And he would laugh every time that commercial. He'd say, Osterlin, listen, Glenn Frey's going to be there. Don Henley's going to be there. Joe Walsh is going to be there. And then some guy named Timothy B. Schmidt. Why would they? Who is that? He couldn't stop laughing. And I told him, I said, well, look, Peter. I said, Timothy B. Schmidt, he joined the band right around Hotel California, either that album or the one after, The Long Run. He joined right at the end before they broke up. And he said, and he couldn't understand why they would put his name in a commercial. He goes, listen to all those famous people, Glenn Frey, Joe Walsh, Don Henley, and then some guy named Timothy B. Schmidt. How did he get his name in the commercial? He couldn't figure out why they would put his name in a commercial. And every time that commercial for the Eagles reuniting got back came on, he would just laugh uncontrollably. I never saw anything like it. Now, look, I knew who Timothy B. Schmidt was because I knew who the Eagles were when they broke up. He was the bass player. I just wanted to tell that story. I thought it was.
That's why they don't put congressmen on the air much.
Well, I always got a kick out of it.
No, it's kick out of that. It's a good story from your life and times.
Well, happy birthday to Timothy B. Schmidt.
Yes. He will be 71 today.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up on the show, talk about strange bedfellows, Ochsner and Walmart getting together for health care. I'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Health insurance is so important. And I know firsthand how important it is. But before I got this job, whatever I needed for my health care, I had to pay out of my own pocket. And I never really needed much until a couple of years ago. And I got diabetes. And so I got to keep an eye on my blood sugar, as does Brewster. And, you know, it's not that big of a deal if you have health insurance, but when I didn't have health insurance, I would go to Walgreens or CVS and I'd say, hey, I need some insulin. And, it would cost over $400 a month. Over $400 for 1 month.
See, I'm old school. I would actually go to the doctor and get a prescription and not stand in line and like, you're next. Oh, yeah, insulin. Oh, yeah. Sure, here you go. Here's some insulin. Yeah.
Now that I have health insurance through my job here, it's $40 a month. What a difference. Not having health insurance, insulin. Something our bodies produce. What mine used to. $400. It was like $430-something a month for 1 month of it. Now it's about $40 tops a month. That's the difference between not having insurance and having insurance. And you could pretty much say every American is one injury, one sickness away from being broke. And I've mentioned on the show before how there are people, old people that need medicine, but they don't have a job or they don't have insurance or whatever the case may be. And they will just get themselves put in jail so they can get. They'll get themselves arrested, thrown in jail, thrown in prison so they can afford their monthly health care. It's a fascinating subject. And, you know, Obamacare.
There's the answer.
No, it wasn't. And look, I know hearts were in the right places, but our federal government mandating that we buy something, and that's what Obamacare is, or was, that was the first time in the history of this country that our federal government said, you have to buy something to its people. Now, we've had our, you know, if you want to talk about on a statewide level, a state making us buy something, okay, well, that's auto insurance, okay, fine. But that was the first time, Obamacare was the first time that the federal government made us buy something. And if we didn't buy it, there would be a penalty. There would be, we would either have to pay money or we could go to jail. And that's why I never, I that drove me crazy. Our federal government shouldn't make us buy anything, let alone the most important thing in our lives, which is health care. And that drove me insane.
Before we run out of time here, you want to talk about the marriage of the two entities related to health insurance.
Yes. Ochsner Hospital has teamed up with Walmart to launch new health insurance plan. It starts January 1st. Walmart is partnering with Ochsner Health Network to roll out a new type of health insurance plan for the roughly 6,600 Walmart and Sam's Club employees in the greater New Orleans and Baton Rouge area. That's pretty cool, huh? It's called the Ochsner Accountable Care Plan, or the OACP. And it's to improve the quality of care for employees who choose to opt in while lowering overall health costs for everybody. This is the first time Ochsner has partnered in this capacity with a large national employer. I think that's pretty cool. Because when you've, we all know how good Ochsner is. It's the premier name for healthcare, and it's the premier name for hospitals and around here. Now they're teaming up to hook up the people that work at Walmart and Sam's Club, and now those folks are going to get health insurance through them. I think that's pretty cool. You know, what are people supposed to do when you get in a situation when you can't afford something? I mean, how can something as simple as insulin cost someone over $400 a month if they don't have health insurance, but if they do have health insurance, it costs them $40 a month? Isn't there any in between? How does that work? You know, when I was out of work and I was running out of money, and I remember going to Walgreens and going to CVS and going to different places. I asked a woman there. I said, "What do poor people do who can't afford insulin but they have diabetes or they need stuff like this? What do they do?" And one of the women that worked at Walgreens said, "You can file for hardship." And she gave me a couple of different numbers. I was running out of cash.
Right.
And I just don't understand how it could be so expensive without insurance, and then with insurance, it's so damn cheap.
But see, there are so many different kinds. You have. There's not just one thing, a vial of clear liquid, and say, okay, that's insulin. There are dozens of insulins, and one great thing about Walmart is you can, if you use what's called Novalin N. You can actually go and get that without insurance at Walmart for $25 a vial, whereas with insurance it would actually be more. So that's another one of those dichotomies.
Wow,
about weird. Prescription drug care that just, you know, everybody has heard about the $600 toilet seat where you go to the hospital and you take an aspirin and you're charged $81 or whatever it is. The problem with healthcare, both at home healthcare and in hospitals, it's just there seems to be no answer to make things affordable.
Well, I thought this was pretty cool what I saw here in the New Orleans Baton Rouge area. Ochsner is now teaming up with Walmart, and so anybody who works at Walmart around here and Sam's Club, they got the goods. That's good stuff. More people will want to work at places like that because they got such good health care. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Last night in South Dakota, that state executed a man for the first time in 6 years, for the first time since 2012, that happened in South Dakota, 56-year-old Rodney Burgett. He killed a prison guard when he was escaping from prison a few years back.
Can't be doing that.
And that's why they killed him. The only reason I'm bringing this up, Brewster, it was lethal injection, and the Supreme Court was dealing with it. And it was delayed a little bit. And when he finally walked into the room and sat down, he knew he was late, Rodney Burgett, for his own death sentence. He said, quote, "Sorry for the delay. I got caught in traffic." Those are his last words. Coming up next, we look at today in history. On this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. Let's look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call a segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
October 30th. You know, it was today in 1991.
Today Doesn't Suck.
Have you ever seen the movie Perfect Storm? Mark Wahlberg, George Clooney? It's about the boat, and they go out off Massachusetts, and they never come back. I don't want to give spoilers, but...
Too late. I want to say I saw it like in 19 forever ago.
Well, that
a long time ago.
That happened in real life because that was a true story.
Yeah.
Today in 1991, the so-called perfect storm hits the North Atlantic, producing remarkably large waves along the New England and Canadian coasts. Over the next several days, that storm spread its fury over the ocean and the coast of Canada.
Wasn't that a radio station up the dial a while back, about 10, 12 years ago?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was the quiet storm. The quiet storm. Smooth jazz.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Fury 102. The fishing boat, the Andrea Gale. That was the one, and that tub. I know it's sad, but it's a real good movie. I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Yeah.
Off the coast of Gloucester, Mass.
With Peter Blute.
October 30th, I've got a celebrity birthday, Brewster. Happy birthday to a guy. He was known for a long time as a famous actor, but I think he's done more behind the camera than he's done in front of the camera.
Okay.
Happy birthday to Henry Winkler. When I was a kid, everybody knew who the Fonz was.
Right.
But then after Happy Days, he really didn't want to do that much acting, and he went behind the camera. But, I mean, one of the most famous television characters ever.
Sure. No question.
Now, happy birthday to Henry Winkler. He was born today in 1945.
Another birthday today, and I would say even though she turned 79 today, she's still pretty hot. Lead singer for Jefferson Airplane, Jefferson Starship. I don't think she was part of the Starship when they dropped the Jefferson altogether. Maybe for a time. Grace Slick, born on this date in 1939.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
She's old. 79 today.
I got one other celebrity birthday.
All right.
Happy birthday to one of the first daughters. It's Ivanka Trump's 37th birthday today. I mean, her accomplishments tend to be overshadowed by her looks.
Well, I have that trouble.
Yeah, you and Chelsea Clinton, too.
Right, yes. Yeah. Easy.
Happy birthday to Ivanka Trump. She's 37 years old today. She's something else.
It was on this date, October 30th in 1997.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
R.E.M. drummer Bill Berry announced he was leaving the band. Now, didn't he suffer, like, on stage, like a cerebral hemorrhage or something like that?
He had an aneurysm.
Aneurysm,
in his brain during a concert.
Right. So I would think that probably occurred before this. Berry told his bandmates he would stay in the band if they would break up as a result. So the rest of the band agreed to carry on as a three-piece unit, which they did until their final split in 2011. Because when you have no drums in the band, kind of... it's hard to keep time.
Well, to make albums, they wanted to just replace him with a drum machine. But then when they toured, they realized they kind of needed someone back there.
Right. It was on this date, October 30th, 1970.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Your personal hero, Jim Morrison, is sentenced to 6 months in jail, given a $500 fine for indecent exposure for allegedly flashing an audience in Miami.
He never did it. Nobody ever saw it. He just played around with it, but they went after him in Dade County. They wanted him behind bars, and it killed him.
Are you celebrating that day?
No.
No. It was on this date, October 30th, 1978. I remember this.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It really tanked as far as reviews go. And did a little bit. I think it was on NBC. I think the villain was the actor Anthony Zerbe. Kiss meets the Phantom of the Park. The TV movie starring Kiss premiered on NBC again, despite the poor reviews at the time. It has since become a cult classic. All four original members appearing in that in 1978.
I never saw that one.
Really? You never saw? I was not the biggest fan even at the time because that was they were still pretty new to me, at least where I was.
October 30th.
But I do remember watching it. I can't believe you don't remember watching that.
October 30th, I will never see anything like this again. Today was the day where a 23-year-old guy got behind the microphone of a radio station and he scared America. Today, Orson Welles was only 23 years old when he did The War of the Worlds. It was a realistic radio drama
dramatization
of a Martian invasion of Earth.
I believe it caused, if I'm not mistaken, and we can verify this, but I remember somewhat anecdotally that there was one attempted suicide based on that, and I think someone, ironically, in Indianapolis, Indiana, died of a heart attack based on hearing that.
Because
people heard that, and it was so good. The actors he had with him, I mean, Orson Welles inventing or coming up with what he referred to as the Mercury Theater of the Air, later glommed onto by Glenn Beck, and Glenn Beck is no Orson Welles. But anyway, yeah, so it just absolutely scared people to death.
Yeah, it was Sunday night. October 30th, 1938.
On CBS with Ian Eagle. No, it wasn't Ian Eagle.
But not bad for a 23-year-old kid.
Well, he was like me. He was Orson Welles was a tortured genius.
Well, he thought that
I can relate.
He thought that was going to maybe hurt his... even then, he wanted to make films, and he thought that was going to hurt his filmmaking career, but it only helped him. He got a gig after that.
Right.
So...
And then he had those great commercials, which you can put in Google, Orson Welles commercial outtakes. And the famous one starts out, he's doing a commercial for frozen peas, and it's, we know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. And it goes on for, you've heard that before, the Orson Welles outtakes where they're trying to give him stage direction. Orson Welles!
Yeah.
The classic bloopers. Classic bloopers. Oh, and that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
That's what we call it. Coming up on the show, we all know about that horrible incident that happened in Pittsburgh over the weekend at the synagogue where that lunatic went in and opened fire. Do you realize that it took some Jewish doctors and nurses to save his life? Stay tuned for that coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So over the weekend, there was that horrific shooting at this synagogue in Pittsburgh. And 11 people were killed. Several others were injured. And it's been called now the worst massacre of Jews in American history. That's what, at least on our soil. And what I found interesting, I mean, this whole thing was just horrific when you hear the stories. But the shooter, when you check the social media pages, the guy was a flat out anti-Semite. I mean, that's what he was, and he just I couldn't imagine hating someone for what their religion is. You know, I couldn't imagine.
Have you heard about the Crusades? And
yeah, I've been, and even
Spanish Inquisition.
I just don't understand. And I mean, that's one of the things that makes the United States the greatest country in the world. People can practice what religions they want to practice. But this was horrific. But anyways, when the cops shot him and he's still alive because they took him to a hospital in Pittsburgh, where he was worked on and saved by Jewish doctors and Jewish nurses. You like apples? What do you do? I mean, they did their jobs. But could you imagine if you happened to be Jewish and you happened to be a doctor or a nurse working in that hospital in Pittsburgh that last Saturday, and they bring this guy into you?
No, It doesn't.
He just shot up a synagogue?
No, it doesn't enter into it at all. They're doctors and nurses first, dude. They're doctors and nurses first.
But talk about irony.
Have you ever seen MASH? Have you ever seen Hawkeye give one of his left-leaning, lefty pinko speeches about war and then saving a Korean soldier?
Yeah. I guess it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Same way. Dr. Jeffrey Cohen said, quote, "He's taken into my hospital and he's shouting, 'I want to kill all the Jews,'" unquote. He was shouting that as he was being rolled into the hospital and rolled throughout the halls of the hospital. And there's Dr. Jeff Cohen saying, I'm supposed to save this guy. Actually, the first three people to take care of him at the hospital in Pittsburgh are Jewish. Those were the first three people that helped save this Jewish-hating anti-Semite's life. I just think that's irony. That's all. And again, when you can't practice your religion, when you can't worship your religion here, that's an issue, because that's, again, one of the many reasons that makes the United States the greatest country in the world, is because we all should be able to do that. All right, coming up on the show, what do we do about, what is it? It's over 10,000 people now, huh? The Central American illegal immigrants that are marching through Mexico on the way to the American-Mexican border, and their goal is to get here for Election Day.
Caravan, invasion,
whatever you want to call it. Stay tuned. We'll tell you what the president said he's going to do here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So if you pay attention to the national news, you'd see about 10,000 people walking towards the United States of America, our southern border. And they are Central American immigrants. And they're still... about a week away. And what's interesting is there's over 10,000 of them now, and they come from a few different Central American countries, and they're leaving their countries to, I guess they want a better world, a better life, and they're heading towards the American border. And there's no coincidence that they're going to be here right around Election Day next week for the midterm election.
Just in time for Hillary to get them registered to vote. She's going to be waiting there at the border with clipboards, thousands of clipboards.
And it's somehow stuff like this always happens around elections, isn't it? So now people are wondering what the president is going to do. I mean, what do you do with 10,000 people? And what's interesting about this, all of the notoriety they're getting. And when we've talked about this before on our show, I told you, when most people want to come into the United States of America, they don't want people following them. They don't want cameras following them. They just kind of want to sneak in. That's how they've done it for years. That's what makes this so unique, when you've got about 10,000 of them and the cameras are everywhere. They have buses. I mean, now they're traveling anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 miles. There are senior citizens in wheelchairs. Senior citizens in wheelchairs making a 2,000 to 3,000 mile trek.
The only thing they don't seem to have is their own theme song. Can we get them a theme song? What are your thoughts?
Well, now the White House is preparing. Not a bad song.
Yeah. See how that works.
Well, we've got at least 10,000 Central American immigrants on their way to the United States' southern border.
And depending on who you believe, members of Al-Qaeda, who else?
Could be a little bit of everybody in there.
Audubon Society, John Birch Society, I don't know.
But this is ridiculous. And to see the senior citizens who are trekking in between 2,000 and 3,000 miles on foot.
Right. No, I'm not feeling
it. Some of them can't even walk.
Not feeling that music.
Well, the White House has prepared a large troop deployment to deter the these migrants.
Ah, that's what I'm feeling.
About 5,000 active duty soldiers.
Wait a second. As they march through the desert of Central America with senior citizens in wheelchairs.
Yes.
And even members of Al-Qaeda and possibly the John Birch Society. And even very much cattle. That's all I got. Ten Commandments.
Yeah, they're on their way to our country. And you know, it's interesting. Many of them are holding their own country's flags. And they're cursing the United States as they're trying to come here illegally. Isn't that something?
Yes.
You know, I have friends from all sides of the political aisle. One of my friends, who's a political lefty, posted a picture the other night, the two pictures side by side, a picture of a boat filled with people from Ellis Island coming to the United States.
Right. At the turn of the century.
At the turn of the century. And then the picture right next to that was this, what we're seeing now, these invaders, these 10,000 Central American invaders. And it said, so what? You know, our ancestors looked a little bit different than these people. So what? I think it's a little bit different.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it is a bit of a stretch. I mean, you can't just have 10,000 people illegally crossing into the United States and then going to live and just get on with their lives. I mean, we have to know about them. So it looks like there's going to be about 5,000 active duty soldiers that are going to be temporarily sent to our border. We'll see what happens there. Donald Trump made another headline. He says that he's going to sign an order to end the birthright citizenship. You know how, like, if you're an illegal immigrant and you're here in this country,
sure,
and you have a baby, that baby, as of right now, is an American citizen.
Right.
Donald Trump wants to end that. That's what they're saying. President Donald Trump says he wants to order the end of the constitutional right to citizenship for babies of non-citizens and unauthorized immigrants born in the United States. He just said this. Boy, that would be something. And again, that's something that would make some people in this country very happy, and that's something that would be devastating to other people in this country.
But again, with the Donald and the art of the deal is that he's setting the bar way up here, and he will negotiate down to what it is that that can be agreed to and what he really wants. Because, as you know, that's what he does. He sets the bar way up here, and everybody freaks out, and then there's negotiation.
You have HBO, right? Because he said this on a show called Axios on HBO.
I have HBO. I have the streaming one that you pay. Well, I guess I do. HBO Go or HBO Now or one of them. I'll look.
Well, that's where he made these comments.
I guess I should know. It's costing me $15 a month.
Revoking birthright citizenship would spark a court fight over the president's ability to change an amendment to the Constitution. The 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution guarantees the right for children born in the United States. How do you feel about that? Because I have, like I said, I have friends that some of them, you know, they love the fact that illegals can come here and have kids, and all of a sudden those kids are legal. And then I have friends on the other side of the aisle that say, screw that. So a couple of immigration issues. And if you remember, that's the one thing that Donald Trump ran on that he really hasn't gotten done yet.
Oh, and that big wall thing.
Well, that's under the same umbrella there. Mm. But Donald Trump has got a lot of things done as president. He's got a lot of good things done. He's not perfect. But the main thing he ran on was immigration, was securing the borders, building the wall, and that hasn't happened yet. And now when you see this invaders whatever you want to call them, caravan, heading towards the Mexican border, right as we're set to have our midterm elections here in this country. You could call it theater, you could call it drama, but that's what this is. But what do you think about? He's saying that he's thinking about, he wants to end the birthright citizenship. How do you feel about that? If you're listening right now, I mean, do you think if a couple of people that are in this country illegally and they have a baby, do you think that baby should be an American citizen? Because it always has been protected by that 14th Amendment. Donald Trump wants to change that. Stay tuned, as they say. The one thing that you can never say, no matter how you feel about Donald Trump, it's never boring with him as president of the United States. Coming up on the show, boy, we got this Disney cruise line here in the port of New Orleans. And it's selling out in a record amount of time. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So Queen there, and we're only three days away from their movie, their documentary. Well, it's not a documentary.
No.
Because a documentary is if they use the actual people. This is a pure Hollywood movie. Where they have actors playing all of the people,
right?
And it's called Bohemian Rhapsody, and it hits theaters on Friday night.
Yes, and we will be giving away tickets to that as well. In fact, 6 packs of tickets.
Cool.
How about that?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I can't remember. I can't think of the last movie where I looked forward to going to the theater and not waiting for it to come into my living room than Bohemian Rhapsody.
And look here, it is actually on the website now at Bayou957.com. Register now for your chance to win a 6-pack of tickets to see the Bohemian Rhapsody movie. Bayou957.com. Check out the Rock Box.
That's very cool. Something else I have never done before, and I'd like to do it at some point before I die, is go on a cruise. I've traveled before and I've been to different places but I've never been on a cruise. I don't know if it's like the video highlights I've seen. I don't know if it's the clothes people wear. I don't know.
Cabana wear? Yeah. You have to wear your cabana wear on a cruise.
I don't know why that I've never gone on a cruise, but there's a Disney cruise line that leaves right here, Port of New Orleans. It sold out in an hour. The first 4-day Disney cruise sold out in an hour. And more cruise lines are about to launch bigger ships, longer cruises from the Port of New Orleans. Tickets went on sale, and people just saw this and they said, I got to do this, and boom. It's a pretty big deal to sell out a Disney cruise ship in 1 hour. And that's what happened, and I guess...
I have not been on a cruise. Mrs. Brewster, before we met, has been on lots of cruises. We're planning to... she's done, like, the Alaska cruise, and we're talking about doing a river cruise to Germany. I guess Amsterdam, maybe, in a couple of years?
Amsterdam's more fun than Germany. I've been.
Well, I don't have any Amsterdam in me. I don't have any of that lineage. I do have lots of German, so I'm more interested in Germany and drinking warm beer. Come to think of it, though, I could do that at home and save, about $6,000.
Hey, coming up on the show, there's one Boston Red Sox pitcher who said he'd go to the White House because the rest of the Red Sox are saying, because they won the World Series, that they don't want to go visit Donald Trump. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So we've seen with sports teams since, and this is pretty much since Donald Trump's been president. I remember when Barack Obama was president, there might have been a few guys on a couple of sports teams who, when their teams won the championship in whatever league they were in, whatever sport you're talking about, usually teams are supposed to go to the White House to meet the president, whether you win the World Series, whether you win the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup, whatever. And now colleges go. The team that wins the college basketball tournament goes. The team that wins the NCAA football national championship. They're all invited to the White House. But ever since Donald Trump's been president, most of these teams aren't going. They're not going. They're making a political statement by not going. And I know a couple of college championship teams over the last year have said that we're not going to go to the White House. And now everyone's wondering if the Boston Red Sox are going to go to the White House. Because, you know, you're up in Massachusetts there, which is one of the most politically left states in America. Most of the people that live in Massachusetts don't want their beloved Red Sox to go visit Donald Trump. Isn't that something, though, how
well, it used to be an honor. It used to be not something that every American had the opportunity to do. And so it was a chance for the sitting president to meet the team, to meet, I guess, their wives if they go, to meet the coaching staff. And it was, you know, if they have the time, they get to spend time in Washington, which not everyone's done, to do the museums and et cetera, all the history. But it's just, it's, you know, we talked about this in the past. I wonder if it's time to just have Donald Trump say, okay, that's it. During this administration, we're just none of you come.
Wouldn't that be something?
It's interesting that I was looking through here. A list of a few athletes who have refused to visit the White House. Manny Ramirez, former Boston Red Sox outfielder. He didn't show up to meet George W. Bush for no other apparent reason other than he just didn't feel like it, meaning I think he slept in. There's another good one.
Well,
here.
He was kind of crazy, Manny Ramirez.
Tom Lehman, the golfer, known to proudly flaunt his Christian faith, declined to meet with President Bill Clinton, instead referring to him as a draft-dodging baby killer.
From a golfer.
From a golfer.
That's wild.
Larry Bird and other members of the 1984 Boston Celtics turned down the chance to visit President Reagan for unspecified reasons, with Larry Bird later quipping, "If the president wants to see me, he knows where to find me." How about that?
Well, the owner of the World Series champs, Boston Red Sox, John Henry, said that the White House has yet to invite the Red Sox, and he also said that he believes that the players will make the trip if they do get an invite. That's what he's thinking. That's the owner of the team. And, I mean, isn't it an honor to go to that place whether you like the president or not? I mean, how many people get a chance to, like you said, to actually walk around the Oval Office? You know, around those hallowed halls.
Well, you kind of answered that because it started out, I think we did the research, and wasn't it a hockey team that actually first did it? Like way back, and we were both like way off on who we thought was the first. I thought hockey was involved somehow. I might be wrong.
Oh, you mean
the very first
American championship team to go visit the...
Didn't we determine it was hockey?
Was it that long? Was it hockey?
I don't know. I don't feel like looking it up again right now. But the point is, you kind of answered your own question. I mean, now all championship winning professional teams have the opportunity. Now colleges have the opportunity. Famously, NASCAR champion drivers would look at their watches and say, "Oh no, I can't go to the Obama White House. Sorry, I've got other things to do."
Yeah, we did see that.
Yep.
Yeah, we saw a few with Obama, but we seem to be seeing a lot more with Trump of the championship team saying that we don't want to go to the White House.
Well, I mean, if you put them side by side, and I don't have that list in front of me, I would imagine that there's a giant spike upward in those who did not want to go to the Obama White House. I'm just saying that anecdotally from my own supposition.
Well, one of the Red Sox, You know, again, the manager of the team, Alex Cora, said that, look, if we do get invited, there will be a conversation among everybody on the team, and then we'll decide what we're going to do.
Well, now, I think that's the way it should be. The either everyone goes or no one goes.
So you don't think it should just be whoever wants to go, go?
No, it's called, that's why it's called team, T-E-A-M, team.
So what would it be, the majority, the mob rules?
Yeah, whatever they... I mean, teams have their kangaroo courts, you know, their not swearing jars, but their own little courts for everything. And so that's all based on, I guess, based on voting or democracy, or somebody makes a decision. So, yeah, I think it should apply to everyone.
Well, one of the relief pitchers of the Boston Red Sox, a guy by the name of... Heath Hembree, they asked him if he would go, and he said, quote, hell yeah, quote, I bleep with Trump, unquote. And the word started with an F.
Okay. He's quite the wordsmith.
So he's pro-Trump. So at least one Boston Red Sox is looking forward, really looking forward to going to visit the White House, and don't know about the other guys.
Famously, in 2015, future Hall of Famer
Tom Brady.
Well, there's a portmanteau. There is a word that they have come up with, a friend of mine, combining Tom Brady and a Japanese word that I can't describe on the air, but it is odd. That's just the perfect combination of the two. Just Google all that and just thank me later. Tom Brady famously skipped out on meeting Barack Obama with his teammates. The team claimed that he had a family commitment. But later at Gillette Stadium, Tom Brady was discovered on the field working out that day.
Yeah. He did it, so... So you honestly think it should be either all or none?
It's a team. It's a team. Yes, you either go as a team or you don't go as a team.
See,
why is that foreign to you?
Well, I'd be thinking, look, if you want to go, line up over here. If you don't want to go, it. And then whoever lines up, you don't.
No, no.
That's not the way to do it?
No.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if the Red Sox are going to end up, A, being invited, and if they are invited, B, going.
Right.
But I know who the most excited Red Sox is, reliever Heath Hembree, who bleeps with Trump, and the bleep starts with the letter F.
Hey, look, when it comes to...
I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't either. That does not... Those two don't really... I'll have to look that up on lingo.com, slang.com. I mean, you live by the team, you die by the team. Brandon Phillips is getting a World Series ring with the Red Sox. He had approximately 8 at-bats with them this year. He didn't have a home run.
But, how about that?
Yeah.
All right, coming up, speaking of athletes, there's one who's, I don't know, people are talking about him because, he apologized for a Halloween costume he wore. We'll explain on Bayou 95.7.
Tom Brady!
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So we should know now here in the year 2018, as we're one day before Halloween, we should know what we're not supposed to wear as costumes. I mean, just go watch any of the Megyn Kelly show on NBC last week. You can start to learn. But there are things that are inappropriate that used to be appropriate for Halloween costumes. Like, I remember when dressing up like a Mexican guy, that was a popular costume. You'd wear the big sombrero, you know, and that used to be a very popular costume. Now you are you're being culturally inappropriate.
I can remember one specific, and I probably have a picture of this. I should. Kat will say, "Are you gonna post it? Because everybody wants to see it. I don't know about that." But I remember being dressed up as a hobo, and so I had a big long plastic cigar. I had, like, my mom had drawn like stubble for a beard.
5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, and somehow I don't know why I had like an Archie's Shows how old I am. I had like an Archie's t-shirt on. I'll have to see if I can drag that up.
Well, you know, hobos, some people confuse them with bums. Some people think, and there might be some hobos.
And now
that are
John Osterlin will elucidate for us the difference between a bum and a hobo.
Well, no, a hobo, what?
What is the difference?
The difference is hobos, they ride railroad lines. That's what they do. They ride the railroads.
Okay.
They might not always pay for them. And then bums are just bums that you see outside your where you work, where you live, or whatever the case may be. But.
What is the etymology of, not entomology, the etymology of the word hobo then?
Well, look it up. All I know is
that maybe you knew since you.
Well, no, I've talked to some people that are experts on hobos, and they're hobo experts, and they say that hobos, sure, there might be some hobos that could be considered bums, but the majority of hobos, they just like to ride the train rails. That's
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just I had never really thought about the difference. It dates back to, according to what I'm reading here, it dates back to the late 19th century, but it's of unknown origin. Of course, it has many synonyms: tramp, vagrant, vagabond, derelict, bum, down and out, drifter, transient, itinerant.
Yeah, you see, a hobo is called all of those things, and while there may be some hobos that are those things, I would think many hobos... they take offense to that because they're hobos because they ride the railway.
Right.
That's what they do.
So properly speaking, the classic image of an indigent person with all of his belongings, see, this is one of my favorite things to say, like when I say living together without benefit of clergy, I love describing someone who's indigent, who has all of their belongings tied to the end of a stick.
Yeah, like those cartoons when they were kids.
Yeah, handkerchief, stick, everything you own. I want to live like that. I honestly do. I think that's what my fascination with that is.
Well, look, we started.
So my Mrs. Brewster let me have a man cave instead. It's kind of like the same thing.
All right, coming up, well, I'll tell you what this one American is now apologizing for dressing as. That's coming up. Stay tuned here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So tomorrow's Halloween, and we should all know by now what we're not supposed to dress as. This is what we started talking about this, and then we got sidetracked a little bit. We should know that, you know, hey, years ago when... You might, or maybe a friend or someone you knew dressed up as a Mexican guy with a big sombrero and a big mustache, and that's politically incorrect now. That maybe used to be acceptable, but it's not anymore. And there are all kinds of costumes like that from perhaps maybe your childhood, my childhood, used to be not big of a deal, but now. No, you don't dress as certain people or certain things. Well, former United States Olympian Shaun White, you know who he is? Shaun White, the big X Games star, snowboarder. He used to have the long red hair. They used to call him the flying tomato can. Well, now he's got the short hair. But Shaun White has had to publicly apologize to Special Olympians.
Oh, boy. I'm afraid to see where this is going to go.
Because he dressed up as Simple Jack for Halloween. And it's from the 2008 movie Tropic Thunder.
Which we talked about on the show at the time it came out. A particular line from that show.
If you've never seen that movie, Simple Jack is a mentally challenged fictional character. In Tropic Thunder. And so Shaun White, I guess, went to a party, a Halloween party, and he dressed up as, again, a fictional character, but the fictional character happened to be mentally challenged. And so because he dressed up as someone who was mentally challenged, people thought that was inappropriate. And when they saw pictures of him dressed that way, social media went crazy like they normally do. And he was forced to apologize because of the social media backlash that he got. He said, quote, "I owe everyone in the Special Olympics community an apology for my poor choice of Halloween costume the other night. It was a last-minute decision." Hey, isn't that what we've heard from people who have dressed up as Hitler or a Nazi too?
Yeah, they got to the costume store late, and there was slim pickings, and it's like the brown shirt and whatever that red and black armband is. Yeah, I'll take that one.
Yeah, he says it was a last-minute decision. It was the wrong decision. The Special Olympics were right to call me out on it. They do great work supporting so many tremendous athletes. And then he went on. So he dressed up as a character from a movie that happened to be mentally challenged, and people were losing it. What do you think about this? Again, it's a fictional character.
So this is a recent occurrence. He recently dressed up. Why is he dressing up as a character from a movie from almost 10 years ago?
Maybe he likes the movie.
That's pretty. There's a phrase, too hip for the room, and I would throw that phrase out there. If you're dressing from a, unless. I was going to try to wrap my mind around it, and I can't, so I'm going to stop.
Well, people on social media knew who he was.
Well, people on social media have Google opened in another window, and it's like, who is that? Oh, yeah.
Well, and here's...
How many people would know? I mean...
Here's why he had to apologize to the Special Olympics.
People of a certain age would know, if that's their point of reference, that film, that time, I guess. It's not mine.
The Special Olympics at the time called for people to avoid the movie over that role of that particular character who Shaun White dressed up as. And again, we're going back 10 years now. And because of this character, Simple Jack, the Special Olympics said, you shouldn't go see this movie, Tropic Thunder, because of this character, Simple Jack. We don't think it's cool. And that was 10 years ago. And then all of a sudden, here's Shaun White going to a Halloween party in 2018. And he's dressed as that. And people on the internet lose it. You know, it might get to the point, Brewster, where people just maybe start going places and just don't take pictures anymore.
Well, no, we're completely in the opposite direction of that. No, that barn door has been kicked down already, and it's got a one-way sign.
Because you take pictures of people.
More pictures, not fewer.
They end up on the internet, and then the internet goes crazy. The people sitting at home, and they're like, well, look what he wore. Look what she... It's just...
It's almost like the red carpet. Can you believe who's wearing what?
But where do you draw the line on costumes, on what you can wear and what you can't wear? I mean... Again, this guy has to apologize to every Special Olympian and the Special Olympics as a whole because he dressed up as a character, a fictional character from a movie that is 10 years old and the character happened to be mentally challenged.
But see, going back to what Megyn Kelly said that got her into so much trouble, and I'm not even going to repeat it. You heard if you haven't looked
it up. Yeah, we've done enough on that.
Yeah. But I'm a little bit older than Megyn Kelly, and I don't remember what she described as being quote-unquote okay to wear, and that's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is I remember kids' costumes. They were very clearly delineated down one side. The boys were like Batman, Superman, maybe like Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, that kind of thing. The girls' costumes were all just the stereotypes. Nurses, ballerinas, Wonder Woman. You may get into characters like that. Batgirl. So I. That's a great question. Who is the arbiter? Who decides what is
social media?
Well,
the people sitting at home, staring at the internet. They're the ones that that were so outraged over Shaun White dressing up as a fictional character from a 10-year-old movie because he was mentally challenged, that character.
There's... Is it appropriate for Shaun White to dress up as a mentally challenged character in a movie that had controversy around its use of the R word? Recall that?
Well, yeah, you're talking about retarded.
Right. And I'm not going to use the quote that is from that movie, but it's that doesn't help the cause. I mean, you know me that I like lists. And in Shaun White's lists of possible costumes, what was before the mentally challenged person, what was after it? He couldn't have gone one way or the other. I mean, what's to be gained by...
Maybe he had just watched that movie the other night and said, hey, Halloween's coming up.
I say that Shaun White needs to get more current and stop going to that one remaining blockbuster, which is in... You said Alaska. I think it's Washington State. I forgot.
Oh, the last blockbuster movie video store ever.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of Megyn Kelly, Brewster, there's a movie coming out. It's called Fox and Friends. I mean, an A-list huge movie. It's about Roger Ailes and Fox News. Guess who's playing Megyn Kelly?
We'll find out next.
Yes. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. And Brewster, when you say the R word, you just can't call someone that. We're allowed to say retarded. You just can't call something or someone retarded anymore because now you're putting down a whole bunch of people.
Well, anymore. I mean, you never really should have been, really shouldn't have been using that word. I wouldn't say anymore.
But as a society, you remember when you were younger, I mean, people used to use that and used to call people that all the time. Again, the word you could still say retarded, you just can't call anyone retarded.
But it was actually, even before our time, it was actually on the list with moron, imbecile, retarded. It was, there were numbers that correlated to relative IQ of challenged, less, whatever you want to say. And we got away from that as well. Like, even clinically speaking, medically speaking, those terms aren't used anymore.
Well, you could still say the word, but you just don't call someone that because now you're demeaning a whole group of people. That's what they're saying. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride, and we got a lot of other stuff we got to get to on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So there's a major movie being made about Fox News. It's actually, I guess, more about Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes, who was in charge over there at the Fox News Channel before he died. And but I think the movie, it's they're filming it now, and it's going to be called Fair and Balanced. And
clever title.
Guess who is playing Megyn Kelly in the movie?
ScarJo.
Close.
Close.
She would have been pretty good at it too.
Let me think. What's her name? Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite African Americans. She's literally an African American.
She's South American, I think.
Well, South African, but that's still
South African.
Still African, you know. She got her United States citizenship as well. Mm. But Charlize Theron is playing Megyn Kelly in the upcoming movie about Roger Ailes on Fox News.
They need to, what's the word? They need to speed that up in production because that would be great if that was out right now. As far as striking while the Megyn Kelly iron is hot. So at what point in the production, are they calling you with production orders now?
Yeah, right now.
Do we know when the foreseen release date might be?
They're filming right now. I don't have an exact release date.
So it could be a year, year and a half.
Yeah, they're filming right now.
Sounds like next summer, I'm guessing, 2019.
Nicole Kidman is playing former Fox News commentator Gretchen Carlson. She's the one, she's now ahead of the Miss America contest.
Right.
She's the one that says there's going to no longer be any swimsuit in Miss America. She was a former Miss America herself, Gretchen Carlson. And then when she was sexually assaulted by Roger Ailes and others there, they paid her $20 million to leave the network.
Right. They said, you, and you, get out!
So,
words to that effect.
Yeah, so Nicole Kidman's playing her. And Kate McKinnon is also in this movie, although it doesn't say in the report that I'm reading, it doesn't say who she is portraying.
Right. I'm thinking perhaps, that would have been great. I can't think of his name. Carl on Fox News. Carl Cameron. She's going to play Carl Cameron.
Carl Cameron.
Yes. Carl Cameron, these thin kind of, it reminds me of Fred Astaire. Has that rubbery face like a Fred Astaire. Mm. Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, you heard it here first, is going to play Carl Cameron.
Mm. I think they might find someone a little more high profile over there for her to portray.
No.
But I just got a kick out of that, how Charlize Theron is playing Megyn Kelly in a movie. Pretty cool. I was just reading, Tim Cook, he replaced Steve Jobs as the CEO of Apple.
Yes.
He just said that, because he's gay, he just said that.
He's openly gay, yes.
He just said that being gay is God's greatest gift to him. And that's what he said.
Hmm. And good for him.
Well, I started looking at his salary. You know, last year, he made $12.8 million in cash, and then he had all kinds of stock options and all kinds of other things, and being the head of that company, and that was a pretty cool gift, too. But I guess not as far as Tim Cook is concerned.
Yeah, God's greatest gift to me has always been money. He just, he's very stingy when it comes to his gifts. That's not true. I used to feel that way.
Yeah, but I found that interesting for him to say that, that was God's greatest gift to him. Because I know there are some people that say, well, if you're gay, you're going to go to hell. And, hey, the way I look at it, God makes everybody different, right? That's the way I look at it. And I would think that Tim Cook has several gifts. He says that's his biggest gift. So, what about that? All right. Well, look, we appreciate you listening to the show. And don't forget that you can always get the podcast of our show at Bayou957.com.
Right, right. It works all hours of the day, not just at 9:55.
Well, yeah. Well, Bruce, you make fun of me for saying it. You can listen whenever you want, wherever you want,
No, I make fun of you for saving it till the end of the show. No. But I'm going like this.
Mm. Well,
10, 9.
Ginty is coming
8,
up next.
7.
Ginty! And it's 2 for Tuesday starting at 10 a.m. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.